Hey, we're Blender Style, and we fiend for the fans. On this episode, Cold Chamber, Dark Days, released in 2002 on Roadrunner Records. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Dark Days, Dark Days.
So, Cold Chamber, you guys familiar? They were formed in Los Angeles.
I had the VHS cassette tape for Ozfest 97.
Oh, dude, I would have loved to see that.
We watched the shit out of it, so much so I think it broke. I don't even know what happened to it.
I don't know what happened to it. I bought the DVD of it when it came out later.
They really?
Uh-huh. I might still have it somewhere.
Oh, we should find that. And I think Cold Chamber did...
Loco.
Made Loco. And I think that's it. Maybe Big Truck, too.
I think there's just one song on that.
It was definitely
on the, there was like a sampler tape or something we got the next year we went, and it had like Big Truck on it.
Yeah, so I was kind of familiar with the Cold Chamber just from that, but I never really got into it.
So this was their last album to feature their original bassist, Raina Foss.
Right.
She recorded and then quit the band before they toured in support for this at all.
And this is their third album,
This is their third album. I would say their second only album. They're only their second album that mattered because Chamber Music was
horrendous. And then they broke up and then they broke up and they got back together for later.
Yeah. So this was this again. Album to me sounded like the band breaking up, which was cool. But so, Nathan, are you familiar with Cold Chamber?
Chamber of Coals.
Cold Chamber's like kind of been that band that's like always been around.
Mm-hmm.
At times they were like a highlight and other times kind of a joke, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
have you ever listened to like a whole Cold Chamber album?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think I ever have. Like I'm familiar with a couple songs here and there, but I just didn't like it enough to ever like go into it.
Mm-hmm. So like this came out in 2002 and like in 2002, I was like listening to like punk hardcore, Slayer, death metal, like this was not on my, like the kids that listen to this were like listening to like
Korn.
Well, I liked Korn. And you know what's crazy is I don't know why I didn't like this band, because this band sounds like Korn.
Yeah,
very groovy, very heavy guitar driven, you mm-hmm. know.
To me, this is like the epitome of nu metal.
Yeah, this is definitely nu metal, I would say. That has a little goth rock kind of stuff feel to it.
This is kind of weird because they did like, so their first album was very nu metal. Their mm-hmm. second album was really gothic. And then this was kind of a mix of the two. Probably their heaviest album, I think, by far, Rivals came out.
Rivals, yeah. 2015 or so.
Yeah, 2015. Somewhere around that.
I feel like at the time it probably still is my favorite Cold Chamber album. I don't know. I pre-ordered the Rivals album when it came out, and I got the cool shirt that you guys are always like, oh, it's dope Cold Chamber shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pre-ordered motherfuckers. But
it is a cool cover.
I don't know that I've ever listened to the album all the way through.
I feel like it's a continuation of this album, though.
It might be, but I think at the time when it came out, I was super excited to see Cold Chamber come back out with something and put all their BS aside and finally get back together, because I always thought they were more influential to that music scene than Korn was. I just don't think they ever got the credit they deserved. And we've talked about this before in the Korn episode. I talked about how I thought Cold Chamber was a better band than Korn, and I still do.
You think Cold Chamber is better than Korn?
Oh, for sure.
I would disagree. Like,
100%. I don't even like Korn that much, and I disagree with you.
Yeah, because you guys are stupid.
No, I mean, Korn. Korn musician wise is better than this band.
I think Jonathan Davis could write better lyrics than Dez could back then.
Dez can't write lyrics.
I don't honestly, and I don't follow Devil Driver all that much, so I can't say whether he found his groove in lyric writing, but I'm pretty sure these were just ideas he wrote down in a notebook and repeated them over and over until the song was over.
I feel like his voice.
I think you should give him more credit.
Yeah, well, and also I think
his voice also is an
instrument within this band. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, for sure.
The way he uses his vocals and stuff, and I think that's maybe a little more important than the lyrics.
Exactly.
And I think he probably probably knew that within this band, you know?
Well, I think that was also a thing with nu metal. Nu metal wasn't really known, at least from my perspective, known for like
their lyrical
content. A lot of lyrics, and there's a lot of repetition of lyrics in some nu metal bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it wasn't very...
I mean, Korn was lyrically good. Limp Bizkit was lyrically good.
Mm-hmm. But the, like, I mean, Korn is... It's hard. They're credited for inventing or being the first nu metal band, or at least starting the genre, which I totally agree with. But they're like kind of a deeper band. Limp Bizkit was like rap influence, which is heavy.
I just think lyrically that they came across obviously a little better.
Korn lyrics are clearly way better.
So, another thing about that is, so I like the first Cold Chamber album was super. I mean, Big Truck. It's a song about a truck.
Yeah, but that song's fucking bad.
And I get what Nate's saying.
The way he does his vocals and stuff.
The voice on it, his vocals are just as good as the rest of the instrumentation for that mm-hmm. song. And so the lyrics don't really matter so much. But I went back when I was doing my notes for this and read through some of the lyrics on the Rivals album. And I didn't listen to any of the songs, just kind of read through the lyric. There's actual like thematic stuff going on there. So
yeah, he's obviously improved.
So he's improved. I makes me kind of go he's back and listen. He's a
great vocalist.
Oh, for sure.
Devil Driver, even I think he kills it.
Yeah, he does a bunch of different like vocal layering, but each layer is a different style voice that he does on the background on this, which is really cool.
I get the sense that he's like a hard worker.
Oh, for sure. For, I mean, yeah, just what he's done for the music scene with his Oracle management thing. I mean, what they got Cradle of Filth signed under their management.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's why that a couple years when we went and watched Cradle of Filth down in L.A. Oh, you didn't go with us.
No.
Okay. Well, when Nathan and I went to L.A. and watched Cradle of Filth, it was the signing party or the whatever for his management when Cradle of Filth signed with them. And then they came back like a year later and we went down there again and watched him.
Wow.
But yeah, he does a lot for the music scene. And I agree with you. He's a hard worker.
But vocally, like you guys are saying, it sticks out as a major component of this. Mm-hmm. Like everything's down tuned and you know, there's like simple riffage and stuff going on, but he's like all over this vocally.
Well, mm-hmm. and even their first album that was more nu metal, I think that's what made Cold Chamber stick out to me over other nu metal at the time as was his vocals. Like you didn't have a lot of nu metal doing the harsh vocals that Dez did, which was cool. I mean, the nu metal was that traditional squealy guitar just making sounds and stuff, and then the drum and the bass were driving the rest of the music, but you didn't hear a lot of like harsh vocals.
Yeah, like, there's like guitar centered drum beats on
this. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, the drums are definitely unique in like how they're played. The guitars have that Cold Chamber groove, mm-hmm. man. It's not Korn, it's no other new, but it's a Cold Chamber groove. And I love that about it. It's heavy as shit, man.
It is like, heavy for not having a lot of stuff going on. Pretty
freaking fun, man.
It is.
I think the songwriting is kind of weak, dude. Like, it feels like a lot of the parts just don't really make sense. It's like, we wrote this part. Let's put those two parts.
Smash them together.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I think is kind of nu metal.
Yeah.
Right, that's pretty common.
They don't have that transitional bridge in between there. They're just like part.
And we talked about this on our Counting Crows episode. I think if you remove the vocals from this, it's just not that good. Like if you replace Dez with a different like vocalist that wasn't as skilled, it would suck really bad. Oh yeah,
it wouldn't be good.
So you don't get like Sepultura roots in this?
I do on some of the drum beats, some of the drum
stuff. Like the guitar rhythms and stuff.
It has
like
that you know sonic
I mean?
Sound.
I mean, that's a wide stretch, but I'm just trying to kind of throw something out there that like...
Roots is way deeper in that with like all the tribal elements to it. It's more groove metal and there's new... Roots is like a thrash groove metal sprinkled with nu metal like production. Mm-hmm. But there's like better guitar playing. You know what I mean? Like Attitude has way better guitar playing than this.
I feel like the shining points of Cold Chamber are the drums and the bass, though. I think the guitar is like kind of an afterthought. It's thrown in there for pace and things like that, and to add that element of like strangeness and weirdness and disorientation or whatever. But Dez's vocals, you know, pretty much carry it. But if you took Dez out and just had that, I could still listen to this with just the drums and the bass because Mike's drumming, he sounds like he's going to go through the skins every time he hits the damn drums.
He does play hard, but it doesn't.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
It's straightforward, that's but that's what makes us. It, yeah, that's what makes us.
I
so
like
good.
Watching him like that video when I was a kid.
Yeah,
because I'm like I could play this. I felt like
then you try. You're like, damn it.
No, I can't really play it. I had an epiphany about Cole Chamber because I went back and listened to their other stuff.
Uh-huh.
You've always said chamber music sucks.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
his vocals, like, he kind of went more melodic and not as heavy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that was really influenced by Sharon and Ozzy at the time. I think and I read some interviews that about that.
Cover of Shock the Monkey with Ozzy, God. And it sucks. This, dude, this is the epiphany I had about Cole Chamber. Dez fucking carries this band. If it weren't for him, this band would suck, dude. He is 100%... He's taking these shitty songs that are like poorly written and like making them good with just excellent vocal performance.
Yeah.
I feel for this guy because I feel like the rest of the band's like falling apart and he's just like, please fucking do your part.
I feel like this is definitely what happened.
Right? Yeah. And if you watch their live performances, like near the end of their career, he's like visibly pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Because the other guys are like on drugs or whatever.
Yeah.
He's just like, please, I just want to be a rock star.
He's like, let's just do our job. We can go do whatever we want after.
And we have a Devil Driver poster right there. And after that, he went on to do Devil Driver, and he got some guys that can actually like keep it together. And it's
it's some groove metal.
It's a way better band.
Yeah,
but at the same time, to touch where you're at, when Cold Chamber got back together, you know, everybody got their shit together, and they finally got clean or whatever, and they were like, "Oh, hey, let's do this." And they got together and they did their thing, and they recorded another album. When the time came, and Dez was like, "All right, I'm going back to Devil Driver." The rest of the band didn't say, "Oh, we'll try and find another singer to continue on." They're just like, "Okay, we're done."
Well, and did any of
because
these guys
Dez
do
it? Carries it?
Well, exactly, because they know that Dez carries his.
Well,
band.
Did they do any other bands? Did those guys go and play in other bands?
Yeah, they're in. Yeah, they're in other stuff, I believe. Like Mike or no, the guitar player,
Megs.
Yeah, I know he does other stuff too. Yeah,
I know their bass player Raina went missing recently.
That was a rumor, I guess. Right. Her daughter posted something on Instagram saying, like, no, she's been in contact with her the whole time. That she doesn't know how it started.
And they showed pictures of her, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. She really did find
time
Christ.
Has not been kind. That's some dark days. Wowza.
So, Megs went on, he did a couple other bands.
That's what I mean. Like, these other guys aren't like... They're just not in it to win it like Dez is.
I think two people in this band are music-centric. I think Megs is really into music, but he's not into, like, making it big. He wants to do this experimental sound and just all kinds of different stuff, where Dez really just wants to be all in with the music, it feels like. And it shows with, you know, the way that he does Devil Driver, the way that he does his management group. I mean, everything he posts on Instagram.
He has a clothing company and stuff like that called Sun Cult.
Yeah.
Which he does with Randy Blythe from mm-hmm. Lamb of God and everything, which is like a surfing brand and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's like a very business oriented. He's very serious. And I would agree with you 100% that Dez, like, carries this in the sense of, like, keeps Cold Chamber together.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, musically, like, that groove is pretty fucking sick, bro. Yeah.
And then
Fiend, to open up your album with Fiend.
Fiend is a fucking banger, dude.
Oh, fuck, for sure. Dude. And then Glow.
Glow's damn good.
So I don't Something think... Told Me.
Mm-hmm.
Alienate Me. Dude, I just wrote Bounce next to it because I'm like, fuck yes. And then Friend. I feel like he wrote it for everybody in that band.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he's like, fuck you guys.
This is the sound of a band breaking up. And like, I've never read an interview where he said any of these songs were about any of the band, but just knowing what the band was going through at the time and reading between the lines, you're like, oh, seriously, like, that's what I got from this. And it's like, how brazen do you have to be to go to the band and be like, hey, I got all the lyrics for the new album, guys, let's go go record just it
talk shit.
And he sounds pissed off
oh,
on this
sure.
His vocal delivery is just sinister, dude. It's almost like death metal at times, how like fucking brutal it is.
You could see how like going to Devil Driver was such an easy
Transition.
And I like that they haven't always done everything good either. Devil Driver has maybe like two or three good albums.
Well, and their first couple albums was the same thing. The lyrics were lacking on it. It was just really, really repetitive or whatever.
But his vocals.
But his vocals have always been on point.
I don't think his I don't think his lyrics are very good. I think
I think that's a cool song.
Yeah, I just don't think he's known for. And I don't think he. I don't think he's trying to be that guy either.
Yeah, I don't think he's trying to like.
I think he's just trying to deliver vocally and like. Get that performance down, you know.
So I mean, so what would you guys rate it?
I give it a 3.3 out of 5. I feel like this should suck, but it doesn't because Dez is really saving the day. If it weren't for him, I would think this is a really, really bad band, but he fucking saves it with his vocal performance alone.
Yeah.
He, like I said before, he's taken not so good songs and make and like willing them to be good with his like his work ethic and just trying to like get the best out of this garbage.
I didn't really think of it that way, but he definitely carries it for sure.
Yeah, so for me it's a 3.3 out of 5. It's good. It's good. I like it.
Dude, this is a banger, bro. This is a 4.0 for me, man. This is a kick-ass record. Like, I'll listen to this tomorrow at work.
And that's the thing. It works great as, like something you just, you put it in and you get stuff
done. Yeah, it's not, like, you know, the greatest thing ever, but just the fact that it's this fun, dude, it's a 4.0.
It's fun. I think I really dissected it, and I was like, what are they even playing, dude?
That's like dissecting a sock, dude. There's not much in it.
You know what I mean? And sometimes, like,
maybe you run into a foot, but it's a dead foot.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know.
Unless you're dissecting a sock that's on somebody. Like, what are you doing? You're, like, taking this sock apart.
Casey, your pick?
So, yeah, my pick.
I just thought about that. It's kind of funny. Sorry.
My pick, I gave it a 3.7 out of 5. I'm with Nathan, and I'm with you. I think, going off of memory, this is my favorite Cold Chamber album. And had I listened to this just in the background doing stuff, it probably would have been a 4.2 maybe, because I love this album. But I think at the same time, I'm with you, Matt. I feel like I dissected this too much and I might have like spoiled it for myself a little bit, because I started really like digging in, like, what's going on here? What's going on? And then just...
But that's like saying Austin Powers is the greatest movie ever or something. It isn't. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say that.
I mean, it isn't. But it is. But it's not.
No. You know what I mean? Like, you get this is like stuff that you got to like take it for what it is. No, and
I
do. Right? And
I think
it's like chocolate covered cherries.
And maybe it's like, because I never like.
You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Maraschino or whatever. And then you bite in here. It's not that great. But I still get chocolate. I still get cherries.
I never really got into this when it like came out or earlier.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of going into this fresh, and maybe that's part of it.
Maybe.
You know, I don't really have a nostalgia for this.
Yeah, and I think I do have a nostalgia. I think just I'll still listen to this and it's still probably going to be my favorite, but I am going to go back and listen to Rivals now and actually give it a chance, because I feel like I didn't when it came out.
It's not bad. This isn't better than Korn, though. That's crazy.
This is 100 times better than Korn to me. Hey, so let us know what you think. Cold Chamber. Dark Days. Great? Bad? Let us know. And do you think Jonathan Davis is a better vocalist? Not lyricist, vocalist.
Yes.
Leave the comments below. Tell Nathan he's dumb for thinking that.
I guess so.
We're Blender Style. See you next week.
Blend for the fans and Blender for the style.